The conference is now being recorded.
Good morning and welcome to the Pantoro Limited event call. I would like to introduce Paul Smolek, CEO of Pantoro Limited. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Ellie, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining the call this morning. Today I'd like to provide some additional information and commentary around the quarterly result which Pantoro released on Monday morning. Before I go into that detail, I should point out that the company's balance sheet's in a great position with $56 million in cash and gold at the end of last quarter. You may have also noted this morning that we've announced closure of the Norseman acquisition first up this morning. So things on that front are progressing well, and I'll touch on that later in the call. So the production result from Nicholson's for the quarter was below our expectation and was disappointing, particularly in the last month of the quarter, where we expected to see a significant ramp up in the production overall. The delays were primarily driven by the Wagtail North underground mine and accessing the ore in that area. While the delay is disappointing, I think there are plenty of positives to take away from the release that we put out on Monday as well. As we pointed out in that release, the capital development of Wagtail North has advanced in accordance with the schedule of the mine, and so the infrastructure establishment has progressed well. We've found that the ore loads at Wagtail have structural complexity, which need to be fully understood by a geological team. This isn't a rare occurrence, and as you get closer to the ore bodies developing, you get more detail than you've seen previously from surface drilling. We see multiple narrow and usually high grade loads in the system. It's really important that we get to the developing the right loads within that system overall. At present, we're undertaking quite a bit of drilling, close range drilling at Wagtail, and we are seeing some encouraging results from that, with multiple instances of free gold noted by the geologists and some good coherent veins starting to show themselves. So Wagtail North is on a building continuum, and we will continue to see the development of that mine over the coming quarters. I'll touch on that some more later. The Wagtail South open pit has progressed quite well in terms of the pre-strip that we've undertaken over the last quarter and a half. We've exposed the top of the main vein during the first week of July and expect some strong cash flows from the operation over the next 5 months. To give you an indication of the costs and returns from that open pit, the open pit mining costs are in the order of $750,000 per month. That open pit is expected to produce in the order of 8,000 ounces during the next 5 months, so we'll generate some strong cash flow. Wagtail South was slightly delayed during the quarter, and we expected more production during the month of June than we received. That was driven by a couple of factors. Our vertical advance was just slightly behind what we had scheduled. In addition to that, the position of the top of the vein that we are doing the cutback for was found to be slightly deeper, and when I say slightly deeper, a matter of a few metres deeper than was modelled in our resource model. We've tested that vein fairly extensively by drilling it down, and now we've seen good strong grades for the lengths that we've been able to drill. So Wagtail South's in quite a good position to deliver over the next 5 months as planned. I've also had a number of questions asking whether we're trying to push Nicholson's too hard. And what is important to understand is that we're not asking anything more out of the Nicholson's underground mine than we have during the past 18 months to 2 years. The planned growth of the operation is directly attributable to additional mining coming online both at Wagtail North Underground, which incorporates the Rowdy's ore body, and also the Wagtail South open pit. The Wagtail South open pit is intended to be an interim infill to that production while we get Wagtail North to the full production level. So Nicholson's during this quarter hasn't been without its challenges in this quarter or in fact any time in its 5-year history. And I think that it's fair to say that no mines, particularly narrow vein ones, are in a very similar position. And you know, all mines face these challenges as they've progressed. While we've been impacted by a number of contributing factors during the quarter, most of them would generally have a minor effect, but compounding together can impact the output overall. As indicated in the announcement of Monday, we had multiple failures for major components on loaders, particularly during May. I've been asked, you know, at what time we understood that this was affecting our output. It's important to understand with such equipment failures that these things build over a little bit of time. Firstly, with multiple machines going down over several weeks, and obviously losing different machines at different times, that full impact is not understood as the individual machines have the failures. We immediately moved to put additional loaders into the mine at the time that we could see that there was an issue. Those additional loaders were expected to be delivered to site by the start of June. Unfortunately, through the supply issues and minor repairs required on those loaders, we didn't see the loaders until the second half of June. So you can see that you know, what starts as quite a minor issue on a mine can grow as you see additional delays and problems with other gear. Saying that, as I say, we've moved swiftly to replace the loaders and have standing machines while they're operating. We've also upgraded our jumbo fleet and have recently introduced a new Tamrock jumbo to replace the Atlas Copco jumbos that we've been utilising to now, and we've seen very good results from that. We've also seen a relatively high level of illness during this flu season that has been bad across the state. Again, we've had some of our key operators impacted by that illness, and obviously where you have frontline jumbo operators impacted, it has a much larger effect than having some of the service personnel, which isn't as specialised, having those issues. The supply of personnel is also getting tougher across the market, and I think you'll hear that from most operators. Saying that, we've currently got almost all of our positions filled. So these issues at Nicholson's are minor, as I say, overall, and they sound like the dog ate my homework type issues, but when they're applied together, they do have an effect. The ore body at Nicholson is a structurally controlled system. Well, nature is relatively complex. So as we've seen from the top of the mine, it provides us with some absolutely outstanding zones and some zones that aren't what we expect based on the data at hand. We've continued to drill below the development, both in the north and the south sides of the mine. We've seen very, very high grades returned, which have been the trademark of the mine as we've developed. So nothing on the face of it has changed at this point in time, in that we have seen some zones that have been lower grade for us. We have seen some zones that have been high grade for us, but as we've indicated, the overall grade at Nicholson's during the quarter has been slightly below what we expected. The costs for the quarter are obviously going to be impacted by the production levels overall. We're finalising those cost numbers and we'll release them in the full quarterly report, but I expect them to be in the range of around $1,660 per ounce for an all-in sustaining cost. We've undertaken, obviously, a large amount of capital during the quarter with bringing on Nicholson's North Mine and also Wagtail North Mine and also the Wagtail South Open Pit. So the way forward for Nicholson's now is continuation of mining at Nicholson's mine at the sort of run rate that we've seen for a sustained period now. We'll continue to work through and understand the Wagtail North mine and accelerate that production as rapidly as we can. And we'll complete the Wagtail South Open Pit over the balance of this year and ahead of planning and feasibility review for an additional underground opportunity at Wagtail South. So as things stand, really nothing has changed and the long-term goal doesn't change for Nicholson's. The key variable is the production rate that we can settle on out of Wagtail, both between Wagtail North and Wagtail South, As we have additional information from drilling and our ongoing scheduling, as we get a better understanding of that ore body, we'll continue to update the market as and when those forward objectives are modified. So that, I think, covers Nicholson's at the moment. I'll move on briefly to the Norseman acquisition. So Norseman is a very big project covering a large area. We have existing high-grade resources, both for underground and open pit potential, and we see that the potential for ongoing growth via exploration and development of these resources is the best that we've seen anywhere, and we've looked at a large number of assets before settling on Nicholson's. As I announced this morning, the transaction closed yesterday. This is a major milestone for the company's development and for our vision in terms of where we'd like to see this company moving over the next 5 years. We've made the majority of key appointments at Norseman, and it's very important to drive the operations forward in parallel with Nicholson's. So our general manager for the site at Norseman commenced work on Monday. He's got extensive geological and operations management experience and is well suited to leading an operation during this critical development phase. We also have senior project geologists in place and have been working over the last few weeks. They've held senior positions with international companies previously. Our project manager is currently completing some projects at Nicholson's. For intents and purposes, most of the project work is completed at Nicholson's, and they will be at Norseman driving things forward soon. We've also appointed a group mining engineer to commence late in this quarter, and have additional various support staff, both at the operations level and corporate level. So we're comfortable that we have the right level of manning to take the project forward, and that position will continue to grow as the project continues to grow. We expect the first drill rig to arrive on site at Norseman by the end of this month, and we'll be immediately commencing drilling on the infill and extensional areas that we've previously detailed in terms of our near-term production options. So naturally, being infill and extensional drilling, we expect to see some strong drilling results flowing from the near term. Our focus at the project is taking some of these near mine ready resources and having them actually ready to mine in the short term. We will also undertake reconnaissance drilling on some of the more advanced projects on the salt lakes at Norseman, which have been highlighted to have very strong potential for plus million ounce deposits. Most of these targets haven't been considered or worked on since the early 1990s with Western Mining, so there's some outstanding opportunity there. So our focus is to have a second producing mining centre in the shortest sensible time, and I say sensible, it's important that we have a solid mine life in front of us when we commence mining. There'll be more to follow on that as our drilling progresses and our study work ties the full operational plan together. So I trust I've answered some of your questions that you might have had this morning. I'm open to taking additional questions from the floor. Thanks very much.
Good morning. Guests are invited to ask questions by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad now. You will be placed in the queue. Please listen for your name and I will introduce you through to the call. Thank you. Our first question is from Paul Howard. Please go ahead, Paul.
Good day, Paul. Thanks for having the call this morning. I'm just more interested in the cash position sort of post completion of Central Norseman. Just see this morning, you said you've paid $7.5 million in cash upon completion. But if I can remember correctly, in the original announcement, it was $10 million in cash paid to the vendor upon completion. So the $7.5 million you say today, where's the $2.5 million difference gone? Have you not paid that, or was that paid initially, and then you're saying the balance of $7.5 million has been paid now?
Yeah, g'day, Paul. Thanks for that. The $2.5 million deposit, which was paid on signing the agreement and announced previously, formed part of that $10 million up front. So the full $10 million has been paid.
Okay, and then so in the quarterly, when you said you'd paid, I think it was 5.8 in total, that's inclusive of that initial 2.5 deposit.
Yeah, that's correct. So there was a $2.5 million deposit, as stated in the quarterly. There was some agreed joint venture costs, and also the costs in terms of the capital raising that was undertaken as part of the additional $3.3 million that's referenced there.
So that 3.3, sorry to harp on a bit, does that 3.3 come out of your total contribution that you need to pay to the JV over the period? Like, is it self-fund 50 million or something like that, I think? So have you started eating into that with that 3.3?
Yeah, so look, for a portion of that 3.3, Paul, so about in the order of 1.2 of that is part of that $50 million joint venture expenditure. The rest of the fees associated with the capital raising, which obviously don't form part of the joint venture expenditure.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks for that. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you, Paul. Our next question is from Ian North. Please go ahead, Ian.
Good day, Paul. I read a broker's note yesterday that they've got the production for the financial year 20 down to 67,000 ounces and 21, 81,000 ounces. Can you give us a bit of an update on where we're looking with that? And is there anything that we've got to, when Norseman comes on, is there anything going forward that we should be looking for? Any possible skeletons in the closet or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and so you've got two fairly distinct questions there. The first one's on the schedule moving forward at Nicholson's. We have the team working at the moment in terms of, you know, understanding where we're at Wagtail North and doing a revision on that schedule overall. So I expect that in the full quarterly we'll be able to give some clearer guidance on that. In terms of this quarter, the month of July will continue to be a little bit difficult in that the Wagtail North mining, Wagtail South mining, sorry, is just, you know, pushing down from the top of the ore system now. So that really accelerates in August and September. Obviously, Wagtail North, we expect to ramp up over the next few months as the drilling that we're doing now gives us confidence in terms of which veins we should be pressing that development on. This quarter, we expect a substantial improvement over the previous quarter. I don't believe it will be at the 80,000 ounce run rate at the end of this quarter. We'll certainly be doing what we can to aim to be there for the following quarter. And again, you know, our scheduling and the outcomes in the mine will impact that, and we'll keep the market up to date as we go through that. In terms of Norseman coming on, obviously Norseman has been there for a long period of time. There hasn't been substantive sort of production work there since sort of 2006. And then, you know, there's sort of been remnant work between 2007 and 2016, but not a whole lot of new work. So Northam's got a large number of near-term mineable prospects, both, you know, with open pit and with underground options. And I think I've gone through that fairly extensively as we've gone through with the operation. Of course, you know, every deposit is slightly different and every deposit has its own challenges. So when you say, are there skeletons in the closet, the purpose of drilling and completing design and feasibility work ahead of mining is to address all of those skeletons and ensure that they're well and truly exposed before that mining starts, so that we have a smooth run through with cash flow. The other point that I should make there, Ian, is that on Nicholson's mine, I guess it's, you know, we've demonstrated over a long period of time that we can run that mine at costs that are generally well below the average for the industry overall. That will continue to be the focus of the of the team. So while we target the higher levels of production, number one is to ensure that we're strongly cash flow positive, and you know, providing the sort of returns that shareholders expect. So if we find that we have business units in the longer term which are not or are not likely to return the sort of cash flows that we expect, we'll address those at the time. We'll address the schedule at the time, but the number one is to ensure that the site maintains strong profitability as it has previously.
Thanks. There's another question has been asked by a couple of clients, is at the staffing levels, and you've said that you've hired some very good staff, and that sounds great. What are the management side of it? Is it going to be you and Scott running the show when they're both online? The question is it too much workload on yourself, you know? But are you confident that with yourself and Scott and these other people that you hire that the management won't be an issue?
Yeah. So look, obviously Scott and I are the executive directors of the company. We have non-executive directors there as well in terms of the board management. I think I've alluded to the first of the senior sort of appointments that we've made there as we grow. We've also got some additional geological assistance in at the corporate level rolling forward. So, you know, while Scott and I are the faces of what we do, I guess, like any other company, and we man accordingly, and we have the technical staff that are required to drive these things sure. forward. We've moved a long way from where we started Nicholson's in 2015, and it was genuinely me in the office here. We man up according to the workload.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Okay, Paul, currently there are no further questions in the queue.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ellie, and thank you very much to everyone for dialing in.
Thank you, everyone. As the conference has ended, you may now hang up your phone.